For World Mental Health Week, this is Walk In My Shoes Radio, broadcasting live from St. Patrick's Mental Health Services, Dublin 8.
I'm Shay Byrne.
And I'm Coleman Nocter.
And you're listening to Walk In My Shoes Radio, where a small step can make a huge difference.
You can tune in to Walk In My Shoes FM by turning the dial to 105.2. You can listen online at www.walkinmyshoes.ie or get in touch with us on Twitter at Walk In My Shoes using the hashtag WIMSFM.
And we're here to mark World Mental Health Week, and today is actually designated World Mental Health Day. Coming up in the show this morning, the secret millionaire whose life changed in a flat in Finglas.
And Roisin Doolin highlights the online mental health support network, reachout.com.
Former political journalist and director of public affairs at Murray Consultants, Mark Brannock, joins us here to review the papers on Budget Day 2018.
And the brothers Victor and William Clark embark on a grueling training regime to take on the Iceland Challenge.
But first, myself and Coleman Nocter have picked a nice piece of music before we start into our programme. It's 5 Seconds of Summer, and this is called Don't Stop.
Some kind of holiday. You got me thinking that we can run away. You wanna take it there. You tell me when and where. Oh, 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 oh. But then I asked for your number. Said you don't have a phone. It's getting late now. I gotta let you know that everybody wants to take you home tonight. But I'm gonna find a way to make you mine. Don't stop doing what you're doing. Yeah.
everybody's favorite band, 5 Seconds of Summer, and that's one of the hit songs that they have. Gone off the screen, no idea, can't remember what it was. Goldfish memory, there we go. What's it called, Rachel?
Don't Stop.
Don't Stop. Oh, people say that to me all the time. This is Ireland's only pop-up radio station. We are Walk In My Shoes Radio, promoting positive mental health on walkinmyshoes.ie. You can check out all the details there. And we're on FM around the country as well, 105.2, 106.7, 105.5, and 87.7 FM. I'm Shea Byrne. I'm joined by my co-presenter today.
Coleman Octor.
You see? We've been practicing that all morning and it went really, really well. So today we're trying something different. We're trying a two-hander as well. Coleman was a guest yesterday on the show, but today you're going to be the co-presenter.
Yeah, looking forward to it, Shane.
So let's get stuck into our first item. We have a lovely guest in front of us.
We do. I'd like to welcome Roisin Doolan, who's a Youth Participation and Community Engagement Manager at ReachOut.com. You're very welcome, Roisin.
Thanks so much for having us.
Tell us a little bit about what is ReachOut.com.
So ReachOut.com is an online service aimed at young people between 12 and 25. So we know the first thing a young person is going to do if they're going through any kind of tough time is to Google it. So we want to make sure that when they do, they find kind of relevant, reliable information that's going to help them understand what they're going through and also give them lots of different options for support.
And what's the likelihood when someone is Googling something that they'll find ReachOut.com? Because we know there's some less than helpful websites out there that speak to things like self-harm and eating disorders. How are they going to find you?
Oh, definitely. And that's something we put a lot of work into. So we kind of do a lot of research with young people around the language they use when they're talking about their mental health. Search with young, we've used it in our AdWords and our keywords and all our kind of Google tricks to make sure that we're kind of up the top of the page.
And do you find a lot of people are using ReachOut.com or accessing that service?
Definitely. And we get over 7,000 Irish young people a week accessing Reach Out. So, and that's just young people from Ireland.
Excellent. And I know you carried out a really large survey of over 2,500 young people a while ago called the What Wrecks Your Head survey. What were the main things that came up on that would be of interest?
We did. So there's a lot of talk about youth mental health and kind of a lot of adults and professionals talking about young people, and we're very concerned about them. But what we wanted to do was ask young people themselves what are the issues that they're going through. So we asked them about stuff like what stresses them out, what kind of things they find helpful. We tested kind of their mental health literacy and how they're doing kind of generally, and also where they like to go for support.
And what did you find? What came up in that?
So loads of stuff. Kind of not surprisingly, the most stressful things for young people are school and exams. That's where they spend most of their time. I'm sure maybe if you asked adults, it would be work. But one of the things that surprised me was body image being so high. So 71% of young people said body image was something that was really stressful for them. And in that, 52% of young men said that body image is something that's really stressful for them, so, or causing them stress.
And can I bring it back to the school issue? Because it's really interesting. Obviously, I work in child services, and we would see referrals peaking in September, October, and then they'll kind of fall off around the summer months. Mm-hmm. What is it about school that young people are finding so stressful just now?
Exactly. And our traffic to reachout.com is the same. It kind of follows the school routine. So young people are definitely more stressed when they're in school. It's hard to say. We had an open-ended question for question 13, which over 1,000 young people responded to. And I had the pleasure of going through all of those responses myself. And it was just really, young people are feeling an overwhelming sense of pressure around a lot of aspects of their life. They have really high expectations of themselves, but they're also feeling really high expectations from parents and teachers. And I think that mixed with, in today's culture, they don't have any time to switch off. So even one young person listed like their average day, and it's like, get up at 8 o'clock, you know, have breakfast, get dressed, go into school, you know, I'm not off school till 4, and then I'm being told I'm supposed to have 8 hours sleep and 4 hours study, and I'm supposed to hang out with my friends, and I'm supposed to volunteer, and I'm supposed to do sports for 2 hours, and it's like, where am I, that's more hours than there in the day, where am I supposed to fit all of this in?
And that idea of expectations is really interesting, because I think if we think about 10, 15 years ago, kind of 350 points was a fairly decent leaving. For some reason, it seems to be 500 is the benchmark now, and we're trying to wonder, who raised that bar? What's happening? How has that happened?
Definitely. Well, it's kind of with everyone, isn't it? You're supposed to be living your own life. You're supposed to be photographing everything, sharing everything on social media, connected all the time, responding to everything all of the time. And I think it is a little bit social media as well, which is something that came up. I mean, it's not something that young people want to be without or that we can get rid of. It's part of everyday life, but it is something that is causing us stress and very much that sense of not being able to switch off, not being able to disconnect, getting back to things right away. I think it's, you know, it's potentially us leading by example as well. You know, I don't think adults is that whole cult of busy with us. You know, it's you're supposed to be busy all of the time, and we're really forgetting to take time out, that it's really important to take time out to switch off and look after our mental health, and that's something that's worthwhile as well.
What's your background, Roisin? Where did you get involved? How did you get involved in this, or what did you study to get involved in this?
So I studied health promotion in WIT, and
the Water Institute of Technology. Yeah, very good. Yeah. Great college.
Brilliant. I was just really interested in mental health, and I actually started off with reachout.com over 8 years ago as a volunteer.
Okay.
And I've had 3 different roles with them, and I'm just really passionate about the service. I think it's really necessary. It just makes so much sense to, if you're providing mental health information and support to young people, to do it in the space that they're already in. We know they're online all the time, so health promotion is really about making the healthier option the easier option. So,
and I think health promotion is something that's come in for criticism, that it seems to be kind of, health promotion has become something like service promotion, where we guide people towards services all the time. I'm guessing with young people, you're trying to redirect them back to healthier ways to manage it, as opposed to saying you need to contact X, Y, and Z service for help with their difficulties.
Well, 100%. I think that's kind of the joy of reachout.com, that can almost kind of, and services like that, that in the future kind of almost end up as a like triaging service or something, where young people are, you know, presenting to their GP with a little bit of anxiety or something, and ending up on long waiting lists and clogging up services, when maybe all they needed was to learn about mindfulness, or to learn about how to have a conversation with a friend or a family member, information that they can all get on reachout.com, where then there are other young people who are going through really tough times who aren't getting the services that they need when they need that more intense service as well. So
I had a quick look at the website as well. It's very well laid out, and it's very intuitive. But if you're in distress and you're on the website, is there a button that you can press to look for help, or where is it purely one way? Is it just an information?
No, so there's a lot of information on there and getting help. So,
but if there's anything actually I can click on the website to get help or get a call back or to bring me to somebody else.
No, unfortunately not. We did have a service, and in our website in Australia, where ReachOut comes from, they do have an emergency button, but we just don't have the capacity to run that at the moment.
Funds, yeah.
But I think as well, we don't want to be doubling up on services. So young people can click getting help, they can click telephone, and there is the number, what's likely to be asked, whether it's confidential, if it will cost them anything, all of the information they're going to need to choose the service that is best for them.
Yeah, and I think if we compare ourselves internationally with those type of online services, there's a kind of a paranoia culture within Ireland that if you're the person that someone contacts and you're not available, then are you accountable for something that they do? Whereas in other countries, they're not as risk averse and say, look, it's better to have a contact option than not have one. But I think it does. We do have a bit of a culture in Ireland of.
Well, I think what we have is we feel we have a duty of care to somebody who gets in touch with us. I know working in RTE on radio programs like Liveline or even my early morning radio program, somebody might contact you who's in distress. You may not see or read that for 2 or 3 hours later, but you certainly would always follow it up immediately.
Sure.
Or pass it to somebody or do something. I think probably as Irish people as well, we do feel ownership of these things.
I think there is a culture sometimes in mental health where, you know, if you're the last person, are you almost responsible for that person's well-being if they left a message on your phone? There's that kind of sense, even within services, of, you know, you don't want to be the one in the dock who has to defend yourself. And we have a kind of a litigious culture within that service of who's accountable, which sometimes stops services working together, and almost the ownership issue becomes a barrier to multi-agency working, which is the optimal model that, you know, well, if you saw me last, well, then are you my responsibility? And I think it's something we need to get over in order to...
And if I did see you last, am I your responsibility, legally?
Pardon?
I'll ask Coleman the question. Even though you're a co-presenter, you're being asked a question now. If you're the last person to see the person, are you responsible for them?
Well, there's the clinical accountability and legal responsibility, and then obviously you mentioned duty of care. So there's all of those things. But it probably prevents us from taking chances at creating services that are 24/7, that are kind of out of hours and without the backup of, and one of the major issues within health services is they're 9 to 5 Monday to Friday, and there isn't somebody available in those less than ideal moments. And I think probably getting somewhere like reachout.com allows young people to access the direction and support when it's less convenient.
No, I was going to answer that.
No, I was going to say definitely. And when I worked with Reach Out in Australia, I actually managed the community forums, which were open 24/7 and trained young people in kind of peer support, so that people did have a place they could go and talk safely about mental health or whatever they were going through while they were waiting for their counselor appointment or their college was closed or they were kind of away from their supports as well, which is really important. But definitely we do get people contact us in distress, and we do have guidelines, and we are actually involved in making the guidelines for tech online services in Ireland, because previously there were none, and we have clinical advisors and all that stuff, and if someone does come to us, we will.
I tried out your workout app.
Yes.
The mental fitness app based on CBT, cognitive behavioral therapy. It's very good. Not just for young people, just for oldies like me as well.
For anyone, yeah.
And you can see the number of clicks on that and click-throughs. Is that popular on the website?
It is, yeah. We haven't really had much promotion behind it, but people who do find it, and it has really kind of high levels of engagement and stuff like that, yeah.
So.
And in terms of what would be the kind of main advice that you give to people around, I'm guessing anxiety is a feature of a lot of what you see. Mm. What would be the kind of repeated pieces of advice that you'd be giving to lots of young people around managing anxiety?
Well, the joy of reachout.com is, depending on what level young people are at, they can kind of create their own journey and find the content that's relevant to them. But in terms of anxiety, actually, we find a lot of young people who are coming to reachout.com are worried that their problem isn't big enough, or they aren't suffering enough, or they're not going to be taken seriously, or they don't have an official diagnosis, so they can't talk to a professional. So if something is affecting your daily life, even if in just a small way, then it's never too early to talk to someone about it.
Just to say, you have a conference coming up in a couple of weeks' time. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
We do. We have a conference, Technology for Wellbeing. So it's all about how technology can be a force for good, especially in terms of mental health. And it's on the 16th of November in the National Gallery, and it's free. You can register.
Yes, how much is this free seminar?
And it's a full-day conference, and you can register for that on reachout.com.
Just before you go, Roisin, if you came back to me in 12 months' time, what would you like to see has changed in Reach Out? What more services would you like to be providing or promoting?
We would definitely like to get our commenting facility back up and running. That would be fantastic.
Okay, so that's the plan. So when I talk to you in 12 months, that'll be done.
Hopefully, yeah.
Okay. Well, Roisin Doolan, thank you so much for joining us, and more details from reachout.com on any of that. Let's take some music. We're going to be talking to Jim Breen in just a few minutes' time. Before that, it's Shalimar. I Can Make You Feel Good.
I won't waste your time.
Mental Health Week. This is Walk In My Shoes Radio, broadcasting live from St. Patrick's Mental Health Services, Dublin 8.
It's all going in the studio here, walking my shoes. There's phone calls being made, there's researchers working, there's stuff happening outside as well. So don't worry about all that background noise. We are going to be talking to Jim Breen in just a few minutes. Mark Brennock is going to be here talking about the papers as well. Such important stories in the Irish Daily Mail today. Why marriage problems put a strain on men's heart? You see? I knew that all along. We're going to talk about stories like that, but also about budget 2018. Let's take a little bit more music before we talk to Jim. Sun Comes Up, Rudimental.
Wondered maybe they'd never find. I've been waiting such a long, long, long time to feel it swallowed by the waters around me. I know I took so many wrong turns to see it. Whoa. But I danced through the blisters at night, and I laughed till I cried and cried. I ran till my feet couldn't run no more. Till my lungs were burning, till I know I'm alive, alive. I sit till I can't hear voice no more. Suddenly the sun goes up and I feel my love flooding back again, yeah. Until the sun goes up and I feel my love coming up again. Suddenly the sun goes up and the dark is gone. Made it to the dawn and I don't miss you anymore. When the sun goes up, I can feel my love coming back again. It wasn't easy trying to run with these handcuffs. I had to sleep through such a cold, cold, cold night to see it. A green flash is zipping right where I'm standing. The sunlight cut into the bone, bone, bone. Started the healing. Oh, but I danced through the blisters at night, and I laughed till I cried and cried. I ran till my feet couldn't run no more. And I sat till my lungs were burning, till I know I'm alive, alive. And I sat till I can't hear your voice no more. Suddenly the sun goes up and I feel my
That sun comes up, that's rudimental. It is 25 minutes to 10 o'clock here on Walk In My Shoes FM and online and on digital and all around the world as well. And we are making small steps in talking about mental health here on the radio station. We're here for Mental Health Week and it's World Mental Health Day today. We are doing this morning show, sometimes called the Shea Byrne Show, but today it's called the Shea Byrne and Colman Nochter Show. And on the line we have Jim Breen. Good morning, Jim.
Hey, Shea. Good morning. How are you?
Thanks for taking the time to take the call. Many people will know your name from, well, You could take your pick. It could be your Pulse Learning. It could be The Secret Millionaire. It could be Cycle Against Suicide. It could be lots of different things that they've heard your name from as well. But Jim, recently and before, you've been very honest and open about your own mental health as well. And that's why we wanted to talk to you this morning. As somebody that they would see you on television as the successful entrepreneur, whether it be The Secret Millionaire, which I know changed your life, with successful entrepreneur, whether it be The Secret Millionaire, which I know changed with dinners and different things we were at, and also being a successful CEO. But you battled your own demons as well, and it took you a number of years and time to actually identify that you had a problem.
Yeah, it did, and it's interesting. You know, it's World Mental Health Day today, and I got a letter this morning, and on the letter, the postmark was, it came from the UK, and the postmark was supporting world mental health. And I just thought how far we've come in the last 5 years in terms of, you know, just the openness for people to talk about problems that they're challenged with. And that those problems, you know, we all know they could be mortgages, they could be, you know, relationship breakdown, they could be, you know, kids in trouble, parents in trouble, siblings in trouble. There could be work issues. And all of those things, we've got better at talking about them. And we've got better at, you know, not allowing them manifest into bigger mental health issues. But 5 years ago, you know, when I appeared on Secret Millionaire and when all of this started, you know, that was something I was very poor at. I'm 47 now, you know, and I was 42 really, Shay, before I just figured out that you could actually, that it was okay not to feel okay, that it was absolutely okay to ask for help, it was okay to talk about problems. I didn't know that, and knowing that hasn't meant that all the problems have gone away. They've just meant that I've been able to build resilience and also kind of build kind of bounce back ability, so that when I have bad days, which I do have, that I'm better able to recover out of them. And I think that's the biggest change and biggest difference from sort of October 2017 compared with, you know, for me, October 2012.
Jim, I talk about your success and, you know, financial success as well, because people, and you even identified mortgage problems or financial problems cause people to discover they have mental health difficulties or bring that on. But at the time, you were successful, you were wealthy, you were well known, but these weren't the triggers that for you. I mean, I read something where you said Tuesday.
Yeah.
Well, tell me about Tuesday.
Yeah, it's a funny one, because I suppose, so today is the 10th of October, and 10th of October is World Mental Health Day, and the 10th of September is World Suicide Prevention Day. And it was actually, just coincidentally, it was the 10th of September 2012 that Secret Millionaire aired. And, you know, it's kind of the response to that program that time, you know, 5 years ago, was just phenomenal. And shortly afterwards, I did my first ever schools presentation, my first ever schools talk. And I talk today with about, you know, 40,000 students a year. And I love that. I love doing that work. But this is my first ever talk to a school about mental health, because I'd been speaking to schools about entrepreneurship and different things, but never about mental health. And there's a guy from Jigsaw. It was a school in inner city Dublin. It was a disadvantaged school area. It was a DESH school. And there's a guy from Jigsaw, Sean, presented before me. He did a really good presentation. And one thing he was talking to his students about was all the reasons for, you know, that might impact your mental health, your emotional well-being. And he was talking about things like, for example, you know, alcohol, drugs, you know, your parents might be divorcing, you might be having a problem with your boyfriend, your girlfriend, you know, bullying, cyberbullying, etc. And he had this thing called a Wordle. I don't know if you've ever heard of a Wordle, Shay, but
no, I haven't.
This thing where the bigger the word is, I never heard of it either, but the bigger the word is, means the more likely that is to be the reason for the problem. So words like, you know, alcohol and drugs were really big, and bullying were really big. And then there's other words which were kind of smaller, which were maybe less frequent. And I was fascinated by this, and I was looking at the board, and I was kind of saying, I wonder if my reason is up there. And when Sean finished talking, I got up and I was, asked to speak with the kids, speak with the students, and I asked Sean, could he put back up the Wordle? And he did, and I said, could you make it as big as you can, because I want to try and see the really small words.
So just to explain to people, this is a graphic representation.
Graphic,
these are numbers of words, and the bigger the word, the more often it pops up.
Exactly.
So if it's written in larger font, it's the word cloud is called sometimes as well.
Exactly, yeah. And I was kind of looking at this, confused. I wonder is my reason there. And I looked really closely at all the small words. And I said to the students, I said, my thing isn't there. And one of the girls, I remember vividly, she was sitting at the back of the class on the left. And I remember, because she was drinking a bottle of Coke. And I remember just thinking, you know, just it was a bit odd to me that it was the first class of the day. And later on, when I was talking to her, you know, she was just telling me she didn't have breakfast that morning. And it was just kind of one of those kind of weird things you spot. And she said to me, she said, what is your word? And I said, it's Tuesdays. And she said, what do you mean Tuesdays? And I said, well, think about it, right? Everybody hates Mondays. Wednesday's halfway through the week. Thursday's almost Friday. Friday's Friday. Saturday and Sunday are the weekends. But Tuesday, like, Tuesday's got nothing going for it. And she looked at me and she said, so what you mean is, sometimes there can be no reason. I said, yeah, that's it. And that was the first time I ever said, I guess it's okay not to feel okay. And I guess it's absolutely okay to ask for help. And that was the first time it was said in that way. And I remember, for me, it wasn't really that it was Tuesdays, even though I did hate Tuesdays. But it was more the fact that sometimes, you know, when you're feeling down, at that moment that you feel down, you don't know exactly what's causing it. You know, it doesn't make sense to you, because often that's the way your mind works. It plays tricks on you. And you sometimes need to just give yourself a little bit of time just to be kind to yourself and say, look, I'll figure this out. I'll make sense of it. I'll be able to frame it later. But for now, it's just Tuesday. And that helped me that day. I think it maybe helped me more than the students. But that kind of helped me that day sort of realize, look, this is not just about kind of somebody is wealthy, therefore they're going to be happy, or somebody is fit, therefore they're going to be happy, or somebody is good looking, therefore they're going to be happy, or somebody's got a good job, or somebody's in the public eye, they're going to be happy. You know, people can battle with their mental health from all parts of our society, young, old, male, female. You know, the only one good thing you can say about, you know, depression, anxiety, etc., is that it's not sexist, it's not racist, it's not ageist. You know, it can attack the strongest of us. And when it does, you know, the strongest of us need to build up our own set of tools to be able to deal with it. And 5 years ago, I was completely ill-equipped to deal with it, like completely. I hadn't a clue. And I was on one hand maybe seen as being kind of strong or successful or whatever else, but actually I was in bits. I was all over the place.
Watching you on The Secret Millionaire, and you're in the flat in Finglas, you know, sometimes you get the impression that people who do these programs, I don't mean you or even the Irish one, sometimes, you know, the guy owns a skip company and he's going, I'm so tired here, you know what I could do with a skip? 01456712 if you need a skip. You get that? Or if you want to go pulse learning, I'm available anytime. But you certainly got the sense, and you could see it over the time that you were there, there was a difference in you every day. When you looked back at that program, were you shocked? Were you surprised at how you visibly changed on screen?
Well, I haven't seen it for a long time, but I will say that the people that I met with, I got really lucky, Shay. Like, I got ridiculously lucky. The people that I met with in Secret Millionaire at the time, I'm still very close with today. So I met with a guy called Nicky Clear and his fiancée at the time, Shauna. And Nicky was recovering from an acquired brain injury with headway. And Nicky and his dad, Philip, you know, they've been involved with cycling and Sue's, and I've become very close to them. The Norris family, you know, an amazing, just incredible family. Antoinette is the mom, and you've got Sam and Mandy and Roisin and Adam and Demi. And, you know, I was with them just a few weeks ago. Just a great, great family. And then there was other people that I met with through the program that is still in touch with Suicide Awareness Dublin 15, were another one of the organizations. And I guess I got really lucky because I got to meet with incredible people who were real, and they, from the very start, because we hear people say, how did they not know who you were? And I think the reality is that from the very start of that kind of 10 days, I was one being helped all the way through.
You certainly got that sense that they engaged with you, and that you were drawing it out, and that it wasn't an act, I suppose, the thing. You know, my co-presenter here is Coleman Nocter, Doctor. We won't call him that today, but it's Coleman. And he has a question for you, Jim.
Hey, Coleman, how are you?
Good, thanks, Jim. Jim, one of the things I've read about you that I really find interesting, because I think I can relate to it, is that you say you don't do idle, and that downtime can be your enemy. And I think sometimes that flies in the face of a lot of the advice around being mindful and stopping and slowing down, but maybe that's not everyone's way of managing. Can you tell me a little bit about that?
Yeah, I guess, Coleman, a couple of things. One is that whenever I get asked by people, so I don't have the qualifications that you have, but because of, I suppose, the experience that I've got, I get asked often by people, you know, is exercise good? Is medication good? Is mindfulness good? And what I always say is that everybody's different, and you kind of have to figure out your own sort of cocktail of things that work for you. And in addition to that, we all change, so that, you know, it might be like for me, I wasn't able to do idle. I couldn't. I couldn't be still. I couldn't be quiet. And that took me, and it has taken me a long time to get to a stage where I can now do that. But it wouldn't have made sense for me to start with that. I needed to, you know, fix other things or work through other things first. And I don't claim to have it all sorted out. I don't. It's still a work in progress. But what I can see is I can see that now when I battle with depression, or when I, you know, feel worthless, the big thing, I guess, for me, and I don't like labels, but for me a lot of it is just a sense of worthlessness, a sense of zero value. And when that descends, I deal with it in a much more healthy way now than I used to. But the way I used to deal with it was, I used to just get busy. And I'm not saying that that's a bad way to deal with it. I'm just saying that for where I was back then, that's how I needed to deal with it.
And I think that's a really important message, Jim, that, you know, one size doesn't fit all. And I think, you know, the way in which we respond to it might be different from one to another. And sometimes we can feel worthless when we tried the tried and tested method and it doesn't work for us. You know, and I think that message is really important, that maybe a more active way of coping is better for some people, and keeping busy is a good idea for some people. So I think that's a really important thing to get out there.
Jim, we're running out of time, and apologies, and thank you so much for taking the time. I know you're very busy, and I know you're off to do 74 things in the next 25 minutes, compared to me, it's probably one thing in the next 25 hours.
You'll do it a lot better, though, which is the key thing.
Do it well. But look, Cycle Against Suicide continues, and what else is happening for you at the moment, Jim?
Yeah, so I'm doing a few things. One of the projects I'm working on is called Liberating Stories. You'll find it on YouTube, and it's just an opportunity of meeting with people like Paul McGrath, like Brian Darcy, Mark Pollock, and Simone George, or Richard Moore, Cindy Joyce, who's an amazing lady. Cindy will be the first member of the traveling community to graduate with a PhD from UL, and her story is incredible. So Liberating Stories, you can find on YouTube, and it's really just listening to people's
stories. Sorry, Jim, just spell that for me, because we'll put it up on our Twitter
feed.
Sure,
it's Liberating Stories.
Liberating Stories.
Yeah.
And it's on YouTube. Liberating Stories on YouTube, you'll find it.
Yeah, and it's just all about people who've kind of battled with it, you know, dealt with adversity, you know, dealt with challenges. It's not saying that, again, everything is wrapped up nice and neatly in a bow, but it's just getting those stories out there, and people who've watched it have just kind of found a lot of kind of good things to think about and to consider.
Jim, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you, really appreciate it.
You just put in Cycle Against Suicide into Google, you'll find more details of that. You're in 32 counties now in the UK, and it'll eventually be around the world completely, so you should be very proud of that. Jim Breen, thanks for joining us this
morning.
Thank you. That was Jim Breen, the CEO. Sorry, you can fade it down. Don't worry, you can play it in the background. That's fine. Yeah, there you go, Rich. Just pull it out. Just pull it down. So Jim is CEO. He's still involved in business, and he still has his Cycle Against Suicide as well, and there's more details about that, and we have that detail up on our Twitter feed. Mark Brennock is going to be joining us in just a few minutes to talk about the papers, but we may have music playing in the background, so we'll continue with that. Thanks, Rachel. I got
With the right support, we can all enjoy life. Taking that first step is possible with St. Patrick's Mental Health Services. If you have concerns about your mental health, talk to your GP or call our support line on 01 249 3333. Don't wait to enjoy life again. St. Patrick's Mental Health Services. Empowering recovery.
For World Mental Health Week, this is Walk In My Shoes Radio, broadcasting live from St. Patrick's Mental Health Services, Dublin 8.
You don't know who the 1975 are. They're the most popular band in the world at the moment. Dylan, do you know who they are? Yeah, you surely does. But Dylan is from Carlow. They don't have music in Carlow. I went to college in Carlow, Dylan, by the way. So that's why I know Carlow really well. I lived in Kennedy Avenue. So I'm very well versed. And Dylan's with us today as one of our researchers. You're listening to Walk In My Shoes FM. We're on 105.2 and various other frequencies. More details on Walk In My Shoes. Great lineup as well today. Coming after us on the show today, Laura Woods and Dustin the Turkey are here. Keith Barry and Tommy Martin here, 1 to 3. 3 to 5, Evie McCall. 5 to 7, Blana Tracy from RTE with us, and my colleague Pat O'Mahony leading the charge 729. Now, we're myself and Coleman Nocter here presenting the show today, and we are talking to Mr. Mark Brannock. Mr. Mark Brannock, you've got to get right up to that microphone. You literally have to be like you're in a wedding band.
Excellent.
On top of it. Okay. Mark Brannock is a former chief political correspondent for the Irish Times and then left there for the World of PR.
That's right.
Not that is a negative thing. That's a positive thing.
No, my former colleagues call it moving to the dark side.
Absolutely. And you're with Murray Consulting, and you are public affairs is your
That's
area.
Right.
So what does that mean?
That means, well, it's funny you asked me that. My mother asked me that when I made the move 10 years ago, and I started to explain. She said, stop, that's two sons now. I don't understand what their jobs are. But I will try and explain what it is. Basically, it involves representing our various clients to government, to local government, to regulators, to people that they need to deal with for various reasons.
So you're not representing the government as such, you're representing companies to a government department. So some of like I know Royal College of Surgeons in Ireland is one of your clients.
Yeah.
So dealing with the Department of Health or dealing with looking for funding from government, that's something you would help them with.
Yeah, but also, I mean, I do broader public relations work as well. I mean, some of my work is public affairs, which is that dealing with the government sphere, I suppose, and some of it is more general public relations. And I also do work for people in the state sector as well, for a number of state bodies. I do some work for the Mental Health Commission. When there's a referendum on, I have worked for the Referendum Commission for quite a number of years. So it's a mixture of both representing people to the government, explaining, I suppose, to a lot of clients. There are a lot of people who are coming to do business in Ireland don't really fully understand how Ireland works, and a lot of them simply want somebody to explain, how does Irish politics work? Who makes that particular decision and so on. Yeah, and it's not something everybody fully understands, but if you do have some understanding of it, there are people who are very happy to hire you to explain it to them.
Well, that sets the scene for you. What we've asked you to do today is to have a look through the papers, and what's dominating the papers today?
Two big issues dominating the papers, a serious one and a lighter one, the budget and the football. So maybe we start with the serious one, the football. We had an extraordinary night last night. It is one of those days when football comes from the back pages onto the front pages of the newspapers, and all of the broadsheet papers have James McLean on the front page, wheeling away after scoring that great goal. The tabloid newspapers mainly drop news altogether from the front page, and though of course this is news, and lead with the football and the speculation as to who Ireland will play next. So it was a great night. There's pages and pages of it in all of the papers. I suppose some of the best quotes in The Independent, we have Martin O'Neill saying that our team may lack certain things, but courage isn't among them. And it's true, when you look at the quality of the players playing in our team, most of them are people working hard to survive in the championship, some in the lower half of the Premiership, but they're not Ronaldo, they're not Gareth Bale.